This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Yo, I think I saw him on the BET Awards last night.
Who?
Jack Harlow.
Oh, Jack Harlow.
He was getting it in.
I didn't even know the BET Awards was last night.
Come on, man.
What's wrong with you? I just didn't know. I was out busy tanning.
Being one of them one percenters eating oysters and stuff. Bro, you better get to your roots. You know everybody watched the BET Awards.
I just didn't.
What's wrong with you, man?
I didn't see it.
See how you are. Keyshawn.
Busy.
J. Will Zubin. It is presented by Progressive Insurance. And, of course, all of our guests, they join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Brian Custer in for Zubin. Here with Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams. You know, we were talking about some football, man, in the last hour. And we were talking mainly about the Cardinals GM, Steve Keim, and how he said – it is an incredible, valuable asset when you have a franchise quarterback still on their rookie contract because you can build around that kind of quarterback and build a contending team when you have a low cap number for your QB. So it kind of got me thinking, you know, let's talk about rookie QBs still on their contract and, you know, teams that you think maybe can do a little something. I think since we're in here in New York, let's start with Daniel Jones. In the Giants, you know, obviously he's still on that rookie contract. What do you think about the Giants roster, and can they win a championship with Daniel Jones?
First of all, every single team's philosophies are different,
okay,
and every general manager's philosophies are different. Some believe to build through the draft. Some believe build through the draft and collect a bunch of free agents, and it just depends on where your cycle is. For many years, the New England Patriots basically built through the draft.
Right.
And then they may have a trade or two here or find a bargain player that they felt still had something in them. And they won how many championships?
Yeah, a lot
Six,
of them. Yep.
Seven?
Yep.
So, and went to nine.
And then went spending crazy this offseason.
And so then went spent crazy this offseason. And it had nothing to do with money. It just was – that was their philosophy. When you think about Daniel Jones and all the pieces that he has around them now, there's no excuse for him other than his own ability. Saquon Barkley is back healthy, it seems. You got a plethora of skill position players. They've addressed the offensive line. They've addressed the defensive side of the ball. So can Daniel Jones lead the Giants to a Super Bowl opportunity on his rookie deal? Yes, he can. Does it have to happen before they pay him? No. No, they can pay him if they decide this year he's worthy of a contract extension after a fifth-year option or whatever, however they want to structure it and do it. I don't think that it's a stress to get one done before they address his contract because a lot of the pieces are already in play and in place. If you draft well, like a Saquon Barkley, you've got to address his contract issue. So you got two guys on the offensive side of the ball that deals are coming up here in the next 12 to 24 months that you've got to look at and say, is he our future? And Saquon Barkley, we already know what he is when he's healthy, and Daniel Jones. We think he's going to be good based on everything that they've done in the offseason to surround him with the toys that he needs. Then you go out and you pay him. Okay, does that mean you're going to win a championship? No. And if you don't pay him, does that mean that you're not going to win a championship? No. So what Steve Keim is saying, in my opinion, is only trying to protect himself. He's playing both sides. Because if they fail and they're not successful, it's going to be because, well, you know, we're not successful. I didn't put the pieces around it. Then if you pay him and you fail, well, I couldn't sign anybody. Well, you shouldn't be trying to sign a whole bunch of veterans anyway. You should be building through the draft, much like basketball does for the most part. Core groups. The Golden State Warriors, they built through the draft. Then eventually they went and got Kevin Durant and Iguodala. But for the most part, that team was built through the draft. And when you look at the Phoenix Suns, they're basically building exactly. through the draft except Chris Paul, Dre.
Dre.
Keyshawn, Dre Will.
Dre.
And
Dre Will, what you think, Dre Will?
And that's just the Giants aspect of it. But we got other teams that's out there. The Cleveland Browns, young quarterback. What are they going to do? The Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens been kicking on the door for a couple years. And they hadn't paid Lamar yet. But they still got those same players that was with Lamar when they were trying to kick down the door still on the team.
Yeah.
And you're about to pay Lamar.
But do you want to see what this guy is before you pay him? When you say, okay, now he's got all the tools.
Yes.
Now let me see before I open up, pull up the Brinks truck and say, beep, beep, back it up.
For who though, Jay?
Ryan, but I mean,
for
Justin
who?
Herbert. Justin Herbert has proved that he could put up big numbers, right? I know you're still waiting on Kyler Murray, right? Tua's got obviously a lot to find out this year with Tua. But, like, you know, just to go back to your Giants example, Daniel Jones. I mean, look, obviously a lot will depend upon Saquon Barkley and the way he plays because of the dynamic he brings to the backfield, right? It could take a lot of pressure off of Jones. You already talked about the additions of Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney. But at the end of the day, it's going to be tough to point the finger if you don't have progress with the way Daniel Jones plays. You want to see that turnover rate continue to drop, and you want to see him start to elevate the players around him. If you don't get to that point, if you don't show me that burst or that you're moving in a direction that we think you can move, then that's time to move on for a lot of these players. Because now it comes time to, like, do I pay you the numbers that the market is going to warrant for a marginal player, or am I trying to build Super Bowl aspirations? And if I think you can help me get there, then great. If not, I'm trying to get somebody else younger to continue to build out what my roster looks like to find out if I can get that one.
Well, if he's a progress stopper, then that's a different conversation. If I'm a betting guy right now, as far as the Giants go, Daniel Jones has everything at his disposal. Literally everything.
I agree.
It will be clear as day if he's not the guy based on everything around him.
After this year. Yeah, because,
yes.
Because now he's got the tools.
Last year
he didn't have the tools. He had the offensive line.
No. 2 years ago, we were scratching their head about Josh Allen. What is he? Then all of a sudden, in comes Stephon Diggs, in come Cole Beasley, defensive side of the ball is stronger. Now it's like, Josh Allen, one of the top five quarterbacks to ever put on a uniform.
He that dude.
You know, so now.
He that dude.
Well, why are you laughing, Jay?
Just because I know how you go to such an extreme.
Because that's what they do. Just fans. Some of your colleagues, not to mention certain names, but it turns out to be, oh, my God. Well, if you look, fool, he didn't have anything.
Right.
Then when you go out there and you get this type of player to go with him, now it looks great. You say the same thing about Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. He was messing around with Freddie Kitchens as his coach. Come on, man. Seriously. Like, you expect for me to excel under that? This dude was the running back coach before he was the interim offensive coordinator, and then you kicked him up to the head coach. There was no way I was going to succeed. But then in comes Kevin Stefanski in this offense from Minnesota. I got a new life now. Now I look like the guy that was worthy of the number one overall pick in this system. Now, if Cleveland and Kevin Stefanski was selecting Baker Mayfield that year at quarterback, he wouldn't have been the number one overall pick because you don't need that style. You don't need to take a quarterback for that system with the number one overall pick in the style in which they like to play, which is run the ball, play defense, do all that. But the fact that I've inherited him and now he's showing me that he can continue to be the face of the franchise and lead the charge, he falls in line for a contract extension. This is the same for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson gets basically thrusted into the lineup after Joe Flacco fails, goes to the playoffs. Next year, torches the league, gets the MVP, goes to the playoffs. Third year, gets to the playoffs again with a lack of weapons on the offensive side of the ball. You now go out, you draft a receiver, you bring in free agents at receiver, you retool the skill positions, you get new coaches. So now you can extend his passing game as you get ready to pay him. So all three of those quarterbacks are going to get extensions. And it's not going to hurt their chances of winning a championship. So this notion that you can't pay Baker Mayfield while he's on, you can't pay Baker Mayfield because you can't sign other players, Well, Kareem Hunt, OBJ, Landry, all them going to get their money. Yeah. Chubb got Nick his
Chubb,
money.
Chubb
I
Rock.
Mean, Chubb's going to get his money. Yep. Kareem Hunt just got his deal, what he's worth. And then you're going to have, and then you just paid Myles Garrett. You brought in Jadeveon Clowney. You bring in Hill and Johnson on the back end. You're going to have to eventually get the Denzel Ward on the corner spot. And everybody will get paid. And they'll probably fight to win a championship. So Steve Kimes is just – he's just kind of trying to protect himself. And I get it. I understand it. Because Kyler Murray is certainly tied to Cliff Kingsbury, in my opinion. If they don't go as further this year, I could see Cliff Kingsbury getting fired. I really could.
Wow.
I really could. Because you brought in a guy that was just fired from Texas Tech.
Right.
And 4 years later, you're still in the same position – you were in essentially with Steve Wilks, which means no playoffs and you lose. Steve Wilks did the same thing. Okay, he didn't win eight games, but you didn't let you give him a chance to win eight games. But you gave Cliff Kingsbury a chance to win eight games. And you want eight games again next year and the year after and the year after? That's just the reality of it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, it is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com.
The Milwaukee Bucks are in charge of this series now. We learned that last night. Chris Middleton.
To the three-point line, to the free throw line, fades to the right, shoots and hits again. A 20-point fourth quarter for Chris Middleton.
Been on the floor with him, and all year long, he's been making big-time plays for us, man. Man, tonight he delivered like no other, man. I think, I don't know how many points he had in the fourth quarter. I know it was 20-something for sure.
20. 20 on the nose.
Ooh-wee. 20. He was smoking hot, man. It was crazy watching.
Hey, PJ Carlissimo, ESPN Radio, NBA PJ analyst. He joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. It is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. How you doing, PJ?
I'm doing excellent, gentlemen. How are you? For early in the morning, I'm doing very well. Yeah. You guys are used to it.
What's up, Coach?
I love it.
PJ, can we get these refs to stand off the court, please?
Oh, please. I don't want to jump on my guy, Wright, but boy,
he was
horrible.
Out of bounds. It just feels like when you're watching a series and Trae Young is cooking the way he is, that it's just kind of like the energy
about?
Of the playoffs.
Every series. It's unbelievable.
I know.
I mean, we do a health report before we do anything else. It's really too bad because there's so many good things happening in these series, but before we even get into the lineups, it's who's playing, who's not, and how'd the MRI go.
Considering that, then, PJ, let me ask you this. How do you think that sprained ankle with Trae Young, how has that changed the complexion of this series with Atlanta and Milwaukee?
I think it changes it enormously unless he gets a lot better in 48 hours, and that's the negative to the conference finals. I mean, it's great you get to the conference finals, but all of a sudden it's every other day. So he's got less than 48 hours, and he can't be 75%, you know, and come in and make some shots or something. He's got the ball in his hand. He creates for his teammates. And Bogey right now, Bogey's not in good shape. He looks like he can't play. He's out on the floor. He can't score for him. So I think it's really tough. But it's this game. As you know, Jay Will, if they find a way to get this game, they're very much back in this series. If they don't, no. With what's left in Milwaukee, with the home court back and doubly back if they get game four, I think they need a healthy or 90% Trey. He's got to play. He was so efficient last night. I thought it was one of his best games. He needs Lou Williams to come alive. When him and Gallinari have been good off the bench, they've been really tough. I love what John Collins is doing, but Bogey's not able to make shots right now, so he's going to need a lot of help, and I think that's going to be a tall order.
Coach, when you look at it, how clutch is Middleton down the stretch for them?
He's unbelievable. I mean, yeah, 20 points is ridiculous, but so, you know, they're down seven. Everybody forgets that because it becomes a one-sided game at the end and because Trey's not healthy. They're down seven, in the middle of the fourth quarter, and he shoots. He's 4-for-6 from three. He gets 20 points, and he's had a knack throughout the playoffs. He hasn't had great games every night, but he's had a knack for making big shots and doing things in the fourth quarter, and he's in every category. You look at the playoff stats. I mean, it's great about the playoffs. Nobody cares about the stats, but he's there in rebounding. He's in assists. He's in percentage. He's in minutes played. He's doing it night in and night out, and I'll tell you who's really happy, and he doesn't want him yet because he wants Bud to do well. He's going to be in Tokyo. He was in China last year. He's been really giving of his time, and him and Drew Holiday will be there with Pop in Tokyo. I love him. I don't think he gets enough credit. If I'm not mistaken, he didn't even play any All-Star game this year. He's a great player, and I think people are finally starting to realize that.
Coach, speaking of another great player, how about what Chris Paul has done? Obviously, coming back after 11 days off from COVID, didn't look as sharp. I think we all expected that, but really started to find a rhythm there in game four and really kind of put down his foot, him and Devin Booker overall, with how they play.
Well, put down his foot is a nice way of saying it. I mean, he controls the game, and his personality, he reminds you of a LeBron, like where he takes control of the game, and you can see him getting on his teammates. You can see him making plays. Sometimes it's an assist. Sometimes he just comes up with a loose ball, and he's got that John Stockton. Remember, Stock would go, he'd go 10, 12 minutes without taking a shot, and all of a sudden you'd get a five-point lead, and you say, oh, we're getting away right now. He'd just come dribbling down and knock a three down. It wouldn't even touch the rim. Chris kind of does what he needs to do. I agree with you. I think each day back, his shot is getting better and better. And I think, you know, should they advance, he's going to start knocking down shots the way we're used to seeing him do it. But his floor game alone is worth it for Monty and for those young players on the floor with him.
Coach, let me ask you this. How should we view Chris Paul then if they advance to the finals, considering what he's done, considering the way DeAndre Ayton has looked, Devin Booker has taken his game to another level. How should we view Chris Paul as Phoenix gets to the NBA Finals?
I think you should view him as one of the best point guards in the league in an awful long time. I mean, was he a superstar? Yeah, he's always been that. But this is what he hasn't done. I mean, now to win a conference finals, to perhaps win an NBA championship, and to be the difference he's been, I don't want to take anything away for this team that won their last eight games in the bubble last year, and we're certainly going to be a much improved team. But they weren't going to be what they've become with Chris Paul. And the relationship he's got with Monty and vice versa, they've helped each other so much. But what Chris has done for his players, you reference that, that's the difference. DeAndre Ayton was going to be a good player eventually. That's been accelerated. Devin Booker has gone to another level. All their players are doing a good job. Jay Crowder is also doing a heck of a job. But I'll tell you what, Chris Paul is one of those guys. There's a lot of great players in our league that really don't do anything for their teammates. By that, I mean, they don't really impact them. They get a lot of points. They help you win games. But they really don't help the other players develop. Chris Paul is one of those guys who genuinely makes his teammates better. That's unique. Very few people have that talent. And Chris Paul has it as well as almost anybody in the league.
PJ, I know you're a coach and you don't like to look into the future like me as a player or a so-called expert in the NBA. Brian as well, you guys keep saying if and when and all those sort of things about the Suns. What I'm going to say is when the Suns close it out and they meet the Bucks, which I think is going to be the NBA final, who will have the advantage?
I want to lean toward Milwaukee a little bit because of experience. Now, they don't have finals experience. This will be the deepest they've gone if they get to the finals. But I like their versatility. I think they have a little bit more of an inside-outside. I think there's going to be more pressure on DeAndre Ayton, and he's done that. He's had no problem with it so far. And I also think that the Milwaukee backcourt, no one's going to stop Devin Booker and Chris Paul, but it's a very good defensive backcourt, and it's also long when you look at Chris Middleton. So I think I'd give a slight advantage to the Bucks going in, but I think if that does end up being our NBA Finals key, I think it'll be a great, I mean, I'm hoping it's going to be a six or seven if it ends up those two going against each other.
PJ, let me make you the head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes. I'm putting a lot of money in your bank account, PJ, in your pocket.
I'll do it for nothing.
Yeah. How would you manage a lot of these talks that are coming out where we're watching these games and you're not seeing Kawhi Leonard on the bench with his teammates? You're seeing him in a box with his family watching the game. Is that a big deal to you? That seems different to me. Out of all the other players I've seen that have been injured, they've always been on their bench, not just kind of isolated in a box.
Well, it's a perceptive question, Jay, because you started it by saying you're going to make me the coach. One of the reasons I'm not coaching is things just like this. I would not handle this very well at all, Jay. I don't know what's going on. It may be a situation where they need him with room and they're icing or he's got his leg up or something like that he can't do on the bench. I've never seen that. So it's surprising to me. Every time they show it up in the stands, Greeny had a great line the other night. He said, Kawhi goes nuts. He's not somebody that shows a lot of emotion during a game. I would not be good with it, but I should say, you don't know anything that you're talking about. Why he's doing it, I'm hoping there's some medical reason and his teammates understand it. And the coaching staff understands it. I would not be good. That's one of the reasons I'm with you guys here in the morning instead of coaching somewhere.
He is our ESPN NBA analyst, PJ Carlissimo. Thank you, PJ.
Great being with you guys. Thank
all
you.
Right, Coach.
Absolutely.
All right,
PJ. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, it is brought to you by Straight Talk. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month. It is all on America's largest, most dependable network, Straight Talk Wireless. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
Stay tuned for Luther Vandross here in a minute.
You're on
the house.
Listen,
is not a home.
One weekend, Key, was someone actually dumb enough to get caught? To get caught. We're going to discuss that next on KJZ, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Coming up this morning with Greeny, broadcasting legend Marv Albert as our coverage of the NBA playoffs continues. Marv Albert, this morning at 11:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. It's tonight, 9 Eastern, ESPN. You know, the Suns up 3-1 over the Clips. Coverage starts 8:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio as well. Phoenix Mercury guard Diana Taurasi becomes the first in WNBA history to reach 9,000 career points. She had 25, her first 20-point game this season. You might remember she returned from injury after missing the last 9 games. And Simone Biles, boy, she locks up that spot on the U.S. Olympic gymnastics team. Biles is currently tied for the third most Olympic medals, 5, by the way, by American gymnast, male or female. Mad props to Simone Biles. SportsCenter, it is brought to you by Mako. With Mako and their magic, your car is no longer tragic. If life throws you uh-ohs, just say, better get Mako, and head to Mako.com to get an online estimate and do it today.
They're going to do random checks. It's going to be like DUI checkpoints, 8 to 10 a game. Probably 2 for each starting pitcher.
And we might have an issue going on here with Hector Santiago as the sticky stuff police has pulled him over a routine inspection.
I kind of joked around with him moving like if I was going to run away because I know I wasn't using anything besides rosin. You know, what's given to us.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin. Brian Custer in for Zubin. Listen, you knew at some point it was going to happen, but you want to think, you ain't dumb enough to get caught. And it happened on Sunday. The Mariners pitcher, Hector Santiago, was first to be ejected and get caught on the MLB's crackdown. He was checked by the umpires as he was basically leaving in that fifth inning at the White Sox. They were like, yo, hey, bro, check
that glove. It's like a full-body TSA pat-down, man.
but you say, you know, you can't be that dumb, right?
Yeah.
And I say the same thing. But Jay has always said to me, Key, dudes on Wall Street get caught and they still go and do stuff.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Or
all day.
Guys are running illegal things and they still get caught doing it, even though they got caught before. So it's like, there's the big memo.
Right.
That we're going to be checking people. Why are you walking through the airport fully loaded when they say, don't come in with anything you're not supposed to? Oh, I'm just going to take my bag, I'm going to walk through, and nobody's going to say anything. And you're like, well, what'd I do wrong? Well, you got sticky stuff on your hands and your gloves and your pants and on your in your hair and on your arms. They're checking you. Do you not understand? They're checking you. They're watching you. And you still go and do it.
So Hector, you know, handed his glove to the home plate umpire, Phil Cousy. And obviously he got tossed moments later. So I want you to listen first to what Santiago had to say after the game.
Third inning coming out of the game, I'm expecting them obviously to check me every inning. I kind of joked around with him moving like if I was going to run away because I know I wasn't using anything besides rosin, you know, what's given to us. Because going into this, once it came up, I was just like, I'm going to use rosin. That's what we got. I don't want this to be a big thing. I don't want this to happen to me.
So that was his explanation. Clinton Yates of the Undefeated joins us now. What's up, Clint?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing this morning?
Hey, bro. We good, man. We got four brothers up on here. On Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Don't remind them. Don't remind them.
It's a party, bro.
It'll be the last time. I'm trying to keep my show, so let's not remind them. Let's just...
Jay, you hear this, cat?
I love it. See, that's where I lay out, Brian.
Right. I hear you. Right. So, Clint, let me ask you, what'd you make of this? And obviously, Hector's explanation.
I think what a lot of people, especially like outside of the kind of hardcore baseball world, don't realize is that the sticky stuff situation. Yeah, okay, Key. Walking through the airport with a loaded heater is not the move. But for most people in the baseball world, this stuff is more akin to driving over the speed limit or without a seatbelt. It's not like this is some crazy thing that's messing people up all over the place. And I think that when MLB puts itself in a situation where all we're talking about is the stuff on people's hands and in their hair and in their gloves, that's just a weird and a bad look. Like, I understand that you're trying to crack down on this, which is a whole other discussion in terms of, like, why people use it and what they should and should not do. But on the whole, I don't really enjoy watching dudes pull their pants down on baseball fields. That's just not what I'm there to see. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, Joe Girardi out here trying to fight people in dugouts, that's not – you know what I mean? Like, there's too much around this at this point. I think they way overplayed their hand. And with the All-Star break coming up, they're going to have to reconvene and figure out how they're going to do this without making a mockery of the game.
No, that's true. And you're right about the difference in the two. I just was giving a do-not-do sort of example. And that's what I'm saying about it. When you know they're checking, though, I understand we need something so that no one gets killed out there on a 95-mile-an-hour, 105-mile-an-hour heater at somebody's head because I lost control of pitching. I understand that. I get it.
Yeah.
But no means no for now. Like, why do it when they're watching you? They're looking to do it, and you're correct. Major League Baseball certainly needs to figure some things out. I was with CC Sabathia a couple days ago, and we had this conversation about it. And one of the things that he was saying is it's about protecting the hitters. It's not about trying to get my spin rate at a certain level. It's clearly about protecting the hitters because you don't want to hit them at all. But when you think about it, though, Clinton, you talk about a guy and doing something later on and crack it down. And Trevor Bauer said that this should obviously be done either after the season and get more people involved when you're out there disrupting the game, inspecting gloves and things of that nature. How would you handle the crackdown if you were the commissioner of Major League Baseball?
I think at the All-Star break, you have to take a look at it. And you have to, at some point, I don't want to say apologize, but you just have to come clean about what it is you were trying to do and just admit that you overplayed this. You know what I'm saying? Like, Key, the reason why people break rules is because, let me ask you this. when you played in the league, there are certain things that you had to do to just plain get up to play a football game. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of guys that probably just don't think that they can throw unless that they've got everything that they're used to using. And it's just a risk-reward situation that, in a lot of people's minds, is worth it. If I'm the commissioner, I have a meeting. I talk to players, and I say, hey, we got to come to some kind of an agreement here because we obviously can't have you using stuff that's designed to pick up cinder blocks on infomercials, but we certainly can't have a situation where dudes feel like they are not equipped with the tools they need in order to have the game be the best product. So that's not exactly something that happens a lot, and you're going to see this come up in the CBA discussions, which are imminent. So that's what I would do. But Major League Baseball is not – they're typically in the business of admitting mistakes. Not that this is a mistake, but there's certainly an error in application that I think you have to come clean about for the sake of not just the players, but the public as well.
Hey, Clint, let me ask you this because, you know, with Key sitting next to me, I'll use the parallel in football for football's sake. When Mangini came to the Jets, listen, he knew what the Patriots were doing. So the first time they played, obviously, New England, he was like, hey, I think they may be taping some stuff. League, y'all need to look into that, right? So considering Santiago's a guy who used to play for the White Sox, do you think that the manager was like, La Russa was like, hey, you know he played for us last season. This cat was using all kinds of sticky stuff. Check him.
That could be, but as a matter of course in general, I'm not here for managers getting involved like that. You saw the situation between the Phillies and the Nationals last week where, again, Joe Girardi's out there getting chesty, straight up trying to throw hands with dudes in the on-deck circle over this kind of stuff, and Max Scherzer looking at him like, bro, what do you want me to do? Like, you're not even playing. I don't know, man. It's just that could be a possibility. But in general, the disruption of the game is ugly. I mean, I don't know how much y'all be talking about baseball on the regular, but, like, the Strohs are out here kicking butt. Otani's about to be out here in the daggone home run derby, and we're talking about things that you can buy on a shelf at a Walmart. You know what I mean? Like, that's just stupid. And it kind of upsets me, quite frankly. Not that it's not worthy of discussion, but it's just like, this is not what baseball is about. You know what I'm saying? Can we get back to business, which is hitting the daggone ball, throwing it, and running the bases?
All right, Clint, so let's get back to baseball for a second. The Dodgers start a series with the Giants.
Yeah!
The two teams they have with the two best records in NL, right? Between the when they face off Dodgers. So what should we be paying attention to in this series?
So the Giants are arguably – I mean, the Giants are the best team in California right now. And,
see, that's,
you know,
that's a shot at me. I don't like that.
See, this is what I was getting at. He knew immediately what was happening, press coverage. So, like, the thing is that the Dodgers, probably the most talented team top to bottom, but Buster Posey's having a heck of a year. He's going back to the All-Star game at his age. And I just think that the Giants are very real, and the Dodgers have to understand that. The discussion in the beginning of the season was about that. The Padres were in the rearview mirror. Nobody was looking at San Francisco. And that's a real rivalry. You know
but
what I'm saying?
But so, that's what I tried to tell you earlier in the season. I kept saying when y'all was trying to drum up Tatis and Machado, I'm like, they cool. They down south, man. We not worried about them. The team up north is our real rival. That's the reality of it.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's a good thing for all the baseball. You got three tremendous squads in California right now. I just think overall, Jay, it's just a good thing that that team is back to where they are. And for the fan base of the Giants, quite frankly, I appreciate the fact that they're kind of still like, well, it's July almost. This is still happening. And not acting like, oh, yeah, we back. You know what I'm saying? Because that wasn't really – nobody expected this team to be this good. And that's, you know, always fun.
Here in New York, Gerrit Cole was obviously rocked.
Ooh, they hit him
upside the
head.
In the Yankees 9-2 loss in Boston, including – allowing two home runs in the first inning, which I would have yanked him. As the Yankees were broomed in Boston, what's wrong with the Yanks, man? Is this it for my guy Aaron Boone?
Man, I like Booney. I don't think so. I just think that this team, I don't like the way they play baseball, man. And I mean that from like a roster construction standpoint. It's either hit it out or nothing. And I also think Gerrit Cole's season has been a little bit rattled as a result of what has happened with, again, this sticky substance situation. You know, people want to laugh at him because of what happened on that Zoom call where he just stopped talking for a while to answer a question. But, like, I was appreciative of it because he was straight up honest about it. You know what I mean? A lot of guys tried to say this and say that, get in and out. He was like, look, man, we use this stuff, and that's where it is. I think that he's just in a bit of a spot in terms of his head, you know, regarding all of this stuff. Because, again, it affects play, how you use this stuff or how you do different things to prepare for games. And, yeah, they got popped, man. They that team, if they're not hitting the ball out, they're not winning baseball games. And that's what's going on.
Of course, this MLB Weekend Recap is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here. All right, Yates, we know that you're in Omaha. You're covering the College World Series. The championship round starts tonight. You got Vandy against Mississippi State. But for those who probably missed it over the weekend, talk about NC State. I mean, they go home because of the COVID protocols before their winner-take-all game against Vandy on Saturday and how all of that went down.
Okay, I will. But first off, Key, I just want you to know Vanderbilt has eight brothers on their team. Sidebar. Anyway, so they're playing against NC State, right?
And damn, they smart. The first game.
They win. Stop it. We're not getting off track here. I'm trying to tell you what
you did it. I did, right?
I get to the ballpark on Saturday, I guess it is, and like I didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden, Danny Graves, our colleague over here at ACC Network, he looks at me. He's like, I don't know if we're going to play today, Yates. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Doesn't appear to be a Hodges guy. And everybody has that look on their face. I was like, oh, right. You know what I mean? And so the news about, you know, who's testing and all this sort of rumor starts to fly. And they don't even tell anybody in the crowd, like, what's going on. So this is making me legitimately sort of uneasy. Not because, like, I'm, you know, worried about getting anything, but because, like, when it appears that the adults in the room are not making the right decisions, I don't like that. And so for these kids who played, NC State was the hottest team in the tournament by a mile. But there's no way you could have let them go on with the numbers and the testing and all that. It just would not have been fair to anybody. And I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, this, that, and the third about the protocols and how they did everything. Listen, I saw the Vanderbilt players getting tested. I know what's going on. I'm not going to argue with you about that. But it's an unfortunate situation because that team was very, very good. Now, Vanderbilt is one of the top teams in the country. We're not talking about somebody just skating through. They actually won the game that they played. So if that had been a beatdown, it would have been a little bit different. But because it was so close, even though NC State only had 13 available players, a lot of Wolfpack fans had beef. And when you make overnight announcements at 2 in the morning so that people who have traveled all over the country and spent their hard-earned money to try to see their team play, all of a sudden that's taken away from them, they're rightfully upset.
Mm-hmm. Clinton Yates of the Undefeated, man, joining us. Man, appreciate you, Yates.
All right.
No doubt, y'all. Keep Key under control. I'll see y'all out there later.
Hey, Sean.
Of course, everybody always say, keep me under control. What am I doing?
Come on, bro.
Come on, man.
Yeah, exactly. You know you special. Come on.
I don't do Come anything on. Except have fun. Okay. Y'all so used to them boring-ass sports talk radio shows.
Yeah.
Oh, everything. What do you think, Bob? No. No, this Who's, ain't that.
Why was his name Bob?
Yeah, why my name got to be
why
Bob?
Why Bob?
Because that's sports. Some of them dudes be Bob and never mind.
Oh, okay. By the way.
You
know,
come on, man.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. Listen, fans are back in the stadiums, back live at all these kind of sporting events. And once again, we're getting the wait till you hear this. That is next here on KJZ on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Let's take Stump in New York real quick. Stump.
This is one of the best shows in the history of television.
Thank you.
So, you know, you got KB.
Y'all hear that out there, bosses? Yeah.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
From A to Z, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin. I'm Brian Custer in for Zubin. Let's just jump right into this. Let's start with the first one. American Sydney McLaughlin set the world record in the 400-meter hurdles.
Who's that girl fast?
Man, let me tell you something. She was scooting. 20-year-old McLaughlin finished in 51.9 seconds at the U.S. track and field trials, bested the record of 52.16, which was set by the second-place finisher, Delilah Muhammad, who crossed at 52.4. Muhammad and McLaughlin, the world's two top-ranked women in the event, and will be the favorites to medal in Tokyo. Take a listen to how it sounded on NBC Sports.
This is Sydney McLaughlin challenging Delilah Muhammad. Sydney McLaughlin gets ahead of the world champion and the Olympic champion. Sydney's time is now. And what does that time look like? 52-51-0. That's a new world record.
The first woman ever under 52 seconds flat. We had an inkling it was coming, Sonia. Sydney got it done. Her time is now.
What?
Ooh, that looked like that hurt.
Man.
That track, man. That track.
Hey, that track ain't no punk, man.
Not at all. Especially the 400.
And
she doing the hurdles, not just the 400.
I remember back in high school coach was like, hey, I want you to run track, man. I want you to run track, stay in shape. Man, they put me on that 400. I remember the first time I ran a quarter, and I took off, boom, right out of the box.
It was over. By the time you got around the second turn.
Oh, hamstring pulled.
That gorilla get on your back. Woo! You got to know how to run it.
Bro,
you got to know how to run it.
I was running like Steve Austin. Remember the $6 million man? That last 100? Everybody was passing me up, and I was looking like,
I was running like this.
Because that gorilla get on you. Here's the second one. How about this? The Tour de France, right, opens with this huge crash because of this fan. And I'm just going to say it right now. She was clout chasing. And she need to get her ass whooped because the French authorities, listen, they've launched an investigation after a fan, she caused dozens of cyclists, look at this, to crash into Tour de France on Saturday. The fall was caused by that woman standing on the roadside of the tour stage. She stepped in front of the pack holding a cardboard sign, and it had a message for television cameras. And Evan, I couldn't interpret what the sign said. Did you find out what that sign said?
Yeah, I did. And it's very odd because it translates in two different languages. So Alez means go in French.
Okay.
And Opie and Omi mean grandpa and grandma. So if you combine the two languages, it means go grandpa and grandma.
Man. And she was smiling. She had the cardboard sign all out there.
So it wasn't something done on purpose.
She was clout chasing. Clout chasing. If I said she need a butt whoop, man. I'm telling you. Come on, man. And those bikes are like $7,000 to $8,000.
Well, I don't care about the bike.
I care about the injury.
Yes, they can afford to mess up the bikes and get new ones. It's more about the injuries.
It's more about the randomness, though, of a fan partaking.
But we already know, Jay, how fans can be, right? In sports, they get to doing stuff that just don't make any sense. The moment we allow you to participate in the sport again, you go out there and you do that.
How many of you guys knew that a group of riders like that's called a Peloton? I always thought that was just like the bike that's really expensive I can't afford on my salary. But it's actually the name of like all those bikers riding together. It's called a Peloton. I learned that this weekend.
I didn't know. I thought you was working for free.
Exactly. That's why I can't afford the Peloton bike.
I didn't know you had a salary. I just thought you was working for free. I thought that was part of the deal when your dad helped you get the job.
Stop. Shots.
Speaking of crowds, I'm telling you, I don't know if you've ever been to a game out here in Phoenix, though. It is wild.
Yeah.
It is. They have a bar in the middle of the stadium.
What do you mean, just in the wild. Middle, like in the concourse or something?
Literally, like up where we are, you'll see tonight, there is a massive bar next to us. And I'm just, everybody just out there. It's like a big-ass party.
I've never
seen a stadium like it before.
Can you drink before the, I mean, like after the game? No, before halftime? Because you do halftime, right?
Yeah, I do halftime.
You can have beer between the quarters, right?
I'm not.
You gonna ask him that on air, man?
Why?
Yeah, why you gonna ask him that on air? Sometimes. Why you gonna front my man out while he on air?
I didn't know if he did halftime.
You know it's been a tough week. Don't try to add to it.
Yeah, but can we
tough week for what?
Oh, see, here he goes.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. You said a tough week.
This is what happens with Kayshawn.
What happened? What happened that
this Kayshawn like to bring you down? Nope,
our listeners would like to know. You said it was a tough week.
We had a mishap on social.
That was last week, I thought.
You know,
this is Monday.
Here's the crazy thing, Jay. We got a guy calling from Phoenix. Jason, what do you got? You got a question for Jay?
Yeah, I do. I was wondering, you know, everybody's killing Paul George. Isn't he doing what we were going to hope or at least expect that LeBron would do, which was keep these games competitive in Phoenix, and LeBron didn't do that?
I'm with you, Jay, but I'm not comparing Paul George to LeBron James. And Paul George is, I mean, look, can you get on him about missing the two free throws to close out where the series should be tied 2-2? Yes, I understand that. But Paul George, I think, has risen to the occasion. Maybe not the way we would have liked, but he still, I mean, he's averaged 27 points for 9 straight playoff games. That's pretty special.
Good point. By the way, when we come back, we're going to talk about who would you build your franchise around? I know we were taking calls on that. Out of all the 4 teams in the playoffs, who would you build your franchise around? That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and, of course, the ESPN app.